warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So we raise our glass as Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI famously said, and that we use on our show every episode. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting in studio today, as always, with my bud David Niles. Dave,
yo.
Great to have you along.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I'm going to ask for your willingness to carry the show this go around. I just got back, for those who are listening, I just got back from a men's retreat called Curcio. Got back today. If you haven't been on Curcio before, I strongly suggest it. In fact, Dave and I were just talking about how that should be an episode that we do. But
I think it's a good idea.
I am running on E as far as energy and sleep, and I'm a little stuffed up. Have a little cold.
Yeah, so I am too, but it's okay. We'll make it.
So, listener, you, the listener, please have a little mercy on us. Cope with us. Sit back and relax and enjoy the man show.
I know that they will because of their holiness.
Yeah, they do. I have noticed, Dave.
We have a very holy audience.
We do have a holy audience.
You guys are holy.
You guys, they really are.
And you know how we know that? Evidence is that they're listening to this show. I think that is, that's probably proof.
Hmm.
In fact, we'll get into why that's proof
later
in our
on.
Topic today.
I want to say that if you have been listening to the Catholic Man Show and you've gone through a few of our episodes, reach out to us and let us know what your favorite episode is. I'm interested to know what you guys like. There's been a couple episodes where we've gone through and we haven't gotten any feedback, you know, that week or anything.
Probably because those were terrible.
Yeah, that's what you're like. You know, it's almost like you give a talk in front of people, you know, and sometimes they're like, you know, clapping and standing up and they're like, yes, that was awesome. And then sometimes you give a talk and you finish and no one says a word.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I must have bombed. I don't know. So if there's something that you like or dislike, reach out to us on our social media, on Facebook, Instagram. We have a YouTube page. Go check that out. We're going to have a new video uploaded here pretty soon. Next week, by the way, next week, Dave.
Tell me.
And for you, the listener, we're going to have a guest on our show.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Miley, who is the drummer of Rival Sons.
And if you guys have never heard, oh my gosh, I'm getting a little too excited. If you guys have never heard of Rival Sons before, check him out. Like, hop on YouTube. It's Rival Sons, S-O-N-S.
Mm-hmm.
They are awesome. If you've ever said to yourself, if you like classic rock, and you've ever said to yourself, why don't they make music like this anymore? They do.
Yeah.
It's called Rival Sons.
And we get to talk with, in fact, he is going to be here in Tulsa. He's going to be in our studio.
Yeah, well, they're coming to play.
Right. And so he's going to come hang out with us for an evening. We're going to do a full episode with him. And then we're also going to do a Friends of the Show segment with
him. It's
going
to be sweet.
With video and everything. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's an awesome dude.
Mm-hmm.
Got a chance to talk to him. Patrick Coffin is the one who introduced us.
Yeah, so Patrick Coffin did, back when he was with Catholic Answers, he had this separate podcast from Catholic Answers Live called Catholic Answers Focus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't listened to it, it's a great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He covers a lot of really, just, he gets a lot of high quality people, but he got Michael on there, and they were talking about, you know, their band and just stuff. It's not strictly apologetic Catholic stuff.
No, but
you know, he talks about
Michael,
a whole range.
But Michael is strong in apologetics.
Oh yeah, Michael is.
He's like a strong Catholic. I mean, he's a diehard Catholic, a rocking Catholic.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. I'm sure he would appreciate the analogy.
Yeah, so we're really excited to have him on next week.
I'm excited to meet him.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for him to be here.
Yeah.
And by the way, we'll give him some Catholic Man t-shirts. This week mm-hmm. we have you, the listener, check this out. Go to our website. You can go get there by thecatholicmanshow.com. We now have a link in our website that shows become a friend of this a sponsor of the show. And mm-hmm. if you click it, you're going to be able to donate to the show. We ask for a donation and as a gift. We either send our Glencairn glass, our Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, our t-shirts, our bumper stickers. And so that gives us an opportunity to support the show, but also to give you guys some really, really manly stuff.
No, that's different from Friends of the Show. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. That's
so
correct.
If you just want a Glencairn glass.
It's just a one-time like donation.
Right. Or if you've got one already, but you want more, because let me just say that these glasses would be a great Father's Day or a great Christmas gift for fathers or
yes.
brothers-in-law.
It'd be perfect time for New Year's, right before New Year's mm-hmm. Eve.
Or just if you want more of them for yourselves.
So, yeah, do that. But Friends of the Show is a guy who says, I'm going to donate $10 every month, mm-hmm. and I'm going to become a friend of the show by going to breadboxmedia.com, clicking on the Friends of the Show link, and donating that and getting it set up. We instantly send you a Glencairn glass. Then we also send exclusive content.
Yep.
And one being like you did a talk on the Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist.
Yeah.
I'm about to do a talk with Father Brian O'Brien, who's been a guest on our show, mm-hmm. on how to keep your high school kids Catholic.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a great talk.
I can't wait to hear it. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be interviewing him. We'll also be doing an interview with Mike Miley. And so anyway, you get exclusive content only for those people, and then also you have a Facebook group. We get an exclusive newsletter that we do at least once a month. So there's a lot of cool things that you get to be if you're a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We also send out just randomly books, t-shirts, bumper stickers, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dave, we do three things on the Man Show.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening, we do three things.
We better hurry up to them.
Okay. So we have a man beverage, we have a man gear, and a man topic. Mm-hmm. We try to highlight virtues that men should have as a Catholic man in today's society in each topic. Typically with our man beverage, we have the virtue of moderation.
Yeah.
Enjoying the finer things in life that God created for
today,
us.
Today we'll be highlighting the virtue of tolerance because we'll be doing a lot of shots today. I'm just kidding.
So Dave, I'll let you introduce. This is your drink.
I picked this whiskey. This is a Japanese whiskey.
Yes. I love this, actually. I love this whiskey.
It's Hibiki.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. But the Japanese kind of like broke the scene in 2013 with when it comes to whiskey. Not this one. It was Yamazaki. Yamazaki.
Yeah.
In 2013 there's a group they put together. It's called the Whiskey Bible. And so every year they come out with, these are the best whiskeys of this year. Well, Yamazaki was number one. And it was the first time, the Scots had like a 15-year running streak where a Scotch had been the number one whiskey in the world
mm-hmm.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this particular year, the Scots didn't even make it in the top five. There was no Scotch in the top five. That's in 2013. Now, since then, it's changed. But,
yeah.
Yamazaki was number one.
Okay.
Now, Yamazaki is very expensive, hard to find. So I got Hibiki, I'm not sure how to say it, I don't speak Japanese, because it's just another really good Japanese whiskey. If you've never tried any, they're kind of expensive.
Yeah, this is a little bit more expensive.
This one's about $60, mm-hmm. But it is very good, and anybody that you give this whiskey to is going to like it.
Yeah,
unlike the Laphroaigs that we drink sometimes, not everybody's going to like Laphroaig. In fact, a lot of people will probably hate it, but you could give this to anybody, and it's going to be very well received.
Let's encourage our listeners to do what Steven is doing.
Hand me your glass.
He is sending us some beer. The last few episodes, we've had some of our listeners say, hey, I have something that really good that you guys should try on air. Let me send it to you. Steven is going to be sending us some beer. And actually, I found out that Keenan from Hawaii is going to be sending us some whiskey that he really wants us to try.
So not plane tickets to Hawaii.
No, plane tickets.
Okay. That's cool too.
But whiskey. So anyway, if there's something that you want us to try, you're more than welcome to reach out to us and send us some. But we're going to try this Hibiki right now. So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
and Our Lady.
Dude, that is the second week in a row that we've had that crazy...
I know. I'm not sure if they can hear the waffling sound.
They did... I listened to it
on the podcast, and it just didn't show up. I couldn't quite tell as much. Anyway, go ahead. I cheated, and I took a sip already.
So I have this, caramel smell a little bit on the nose.
Yes,
Is that yours as well? Mm-hmm. What's the tasting notes? Well,
just go ahead and try it, and then we may have to read the official tasting notes after the break, because we're running out. But, yeah, there's definitely a caramelness.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff on here that I don't even know what it is. Lychee, L-Y-C-H-E-E.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what that is.
Mm-mm.
There's some stuff on here that's Japanese stuff.
Yeah.
Like sandalwood is a type of wood that grows in Japan.
Okay.
That's on here. But what else do you get?
So there is a little bit of a vanilla, but the caramel really sticks out on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
However, whenever you have it on the palate, I don't taste as much caramel as what I smell. I have a rose.
There is a sweet.
For some reason, on the palate, I have
a
rose.
On the nose, the first thing it says is rose.
Okay. On my palate.
But your smell,
yeah.
Your olfactory is essential in your taste.
Mm-hmm.
So it says on the nose is rose, lychee, hints of rosemary, and mature woodiness / sandalwood.
Okay.
Let's finish this when we get back, because this is kind of a unique one, and we'll just knock it out.
Okay, cool.
On the other side of the break.
Okay, so stick around. We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise those Catholic Mantua Glencairn glasses high.
Raise them up. Decaloris. Decaloris, Adam.
Decaloris, Dave.
What did we say about... We said something about Curcio, didn't we?
Yeah, on the first... Yeah.
Did you say that you just got back from your Curcio? Yeah,
correct.
You did. Oh, because you're low on energy.
Correct. I'm a little lower on energy.
And Decaloris to all of you who have...
All the Curciistas.
Curciistas.
Okay, so isn't that Curciisto for men?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that...
I don't know. I've never thought about that.
It should be Curciisto for men and Curciista.
There's probably a reason why.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong.
Because maybe
Juan, tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us. He would know.
Yeah, he would know.
So, anyway. Okay, hold on. We're talking about the Hibiki, right?
Yeah, Hibiki.
And it's really good. I'm reading it. It says the palate has honey.
Honey-like sweetness.
Uh-huh. And candied orange peel.
Mm-hmm.
And white chocolate.
Yeah.
I don't get the white chocolate at all.
I
do have... I can tell it's... I have a little citrus taste to it.
It's probably a reason why it's the last one on the... The last note on the palate.
Okay. So, if you guys have ever been to Curcio before, there's a point in the night, one of the nights, it's late, and Monsignor Gallus, who is in the Tulsa Diocese, he was our spiritual director for the...
Which would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was really great.
He'd be a sweet
And, he's
spiritual director.
You know, he's really funny as well.
Yeah,
when you get him, he's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So he told this joke, and I'm gonna reenact his joke.
Okay.
This is the joke for the week. He said, back in the World War II, there was a Jewish couple who just had twin boys, and they were really worried about... things going on in their country. And so they decided they had a family member in Argentina and a family member in the Middle East. And the Argentina family could not keep both of them, but could keep one. And the same thing with the Middle Eastern company. Family. So they sent one boy over to the Argentina family, one boy to the Middle Eastern family.
Okay.
And
tough decision.
Yeah, tough decision.
Split up the kids.
But because they're basically newborns, the family members named them because they was in the culture, they didn't want them to get made fun of, and
right.
So they gave them the opportunity to name them. And the Argentina family decided to name one of the boys Juan because it just fits in with their culture and the name.
Sure. It's John. Then, John in Spanish.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Good name.
And then in the Middle East, they went with Amal. because that's just a typical Middle Eastern name.
And, okay.
World War II ends, and they're really excited to hear from the boys, and the family's right back to the mom and dad. And the Argentina family actually put a photo into the note. And so they both get the notes back, and the mom's looking at them, and she reads the one from Argentina, and she reads the one from the Middle East, and she's just so excited that they're going to be coming back home. And she's looking at the picture that Argentina family sent, and she looks over at the dad, and she just says, look how handsome our boy is, and how he's grown up, and I sure wish that our family member in the Middle East would have sent a picture of our son. And the dad looks over and says, well, honey, if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Oh, that is such a Monsignor Gallus joke.
So, there's your joke for the week.
That's like just prime Monsignor Gallus.
So anyway, if you guys are still listening, I don't know if you guys are listening after that joke, but we're sitting here drinking some Hibiki whiskey from Japan and our Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses.
Mm-hmm. Has a long finish.
It does.
Try it again.
It does have
a long cinnamon kind of finish.
You're right. That is correct.
You know, that kind of like cinnamon has like a little bit of a burn to it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of got that, and it lingers. I like that.
It does linger. I do too.
I do not like a whiskey
that dissipates quickly.
Yeah, that's just out the door.
I agree with you.
You know, I like it to stick around. Like, hang out with me for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
take your shoes off.
I like it. Yeah. Anyway, the man gear.
Okay, so
we're
going to...
sweet man gear today.
I agree with you. We definitely do. Yeah, let's
I got this from my mom.
Okay. That's manly, by the way.
Yeah. So it's my 30th birthday this year.
Golly, you
this
are
is a pretty,
old.
Dude, yeah, but like, I'm like a baby compared to you.
3 months does not mean a
baby. Although you wouldn't know it by my beard.
That's true. You're growing. You're doing the beards for baby.
This is
it's about the longest I've ever seen it.
I finally got my Catholic beard balm yesterday.
Oh, nice.
He's super backed up because No Shave November is coming up, but I finally got it in.
Nice.
And it is, oh, huge difference.
Yeah.
Like, I can get it all to lay down now, and it's a lot softer. Dude, and it smells good.
Which one did you get?
I got his new one, Orthodoxy, which is, like, it smells like tobacco, has hints of tobacco, and
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, well, we gave one away. I think that was the one we actually gave to Mason.
It was inspired by G.K. Chesterton?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
So that's the one I got, and it's awesome. It doesn't smell like tobacco until you like melt it in your hands and put it on, and then it's like, ooh, that does. It smells like good tobacco. Anyway,
nice.
Speaking of tobacco,
great segue, bro.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting used to this.
Almost like we planned it out, but we did not.
Right.
The Holy Spirit just lives on the show.
Yes,
you know, it's
that's
like,
true.
Holy Spirit's a big part of the show.
That is true.
Big part.
Big
anyway,
part.
So it's my 30th birthday. And I open this gift from my mom, and I open it. It's like this leather pouch. And I said, oh, sweet, it's a Bible cover. Because I don't have, you know, some people have like a leather cover for their Bible to go in. Because I don't have one. And I was like, thanks, Mom, a Bible cover. And she says, even better, it's a pipe holder. And I was like, what? And I opened it up, and I just thought that was so funny that my mom, who is like a very holy woman.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, super Catholic, like, very holy woman.
Like, even better.
Than a Bible cover.
It's a pipe holder. It's like, do you smoke, Mom? Like, I don't think so.
So. But it's super cool you think that.
So you open it up, and it's just made of like the plushest leather.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is so awesome.
You're going to have to take a video.
We're
going to
make
it.
A video.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to make a video because there's like, there's all these things, compartments and like little, like
pouches.
There's a little bag. I don't even know what all of it's for.
That's for the tobacco.
I don't know.
For the tobacco.
Probably, but
it's definitely
it doesn't seal, you know, it just snaps.
But you have the bag.
Just take a little bit with you. But there's other like compartments to put bags of tobacco.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
There's just like more options here than I even know what to do with. See, like there's this huge thing, and then like this unsnaps on the outside.
That doesn't make good radio. They don't know what this
is. Well, we're gonna make a video, so they're gonna see all about it.
Okay.
But it's just a very sweet way
of carrying.
Especially
your
if you have more than one pipe, mm-hmm. because this thing can hold. Well, there's four slots.
You have two right now being used.
I only have two.
Right.
I only have two pipes.
Yeah.
It's got this little handle.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It is super cool. It's a great pipe bag. You know, if you travel, like if you go on a camping trip with men,
I brought this with me.
It's a great way to make sure you keep everything together.
Also, another great Christmas gift for a man who likes to enjoy a pipe every now and then.
Valid point.
So just keep these things in mind, guys.
Yeah, that'd be great. Great idea.
We've got two Christmas gifts.
Speaking of, we've been talking about our camping trip and things like that, and another thing that we've been doing for friends of the show that we're about to do is we're going to have Sam Guzman from The Catholic Gentleman.
Yeah.
On, and
because we are on his, like, friends of the show equivalent. I don't know.
Right, it's called the Gentleman Society.
The Gentleman Society, yeah. We did a video with him for his Gentleman Society.
Yeah, so if you're a part of that, actually, it's funny that a lot of our listeners and a lot of his followers kind of
We operate in the same vein. Yeah, because, you know, he kind of helped inspire the show a little bit.
Right,
a lot,
absolutely.
Really.
So
it only makes sense that there'd be a lot of crossover.
Yeah, so we're going to actually have him on our Friends of the Show here pretty soon as well. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Because he just moved here.
Yeah, he just moved to. Well, he's about an hour and a half away.
He's in the area.
He's in the region. So we're gonna interview him and have a very manly discussion with him, and have that for our friends of the show.
That'll be cool. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah, and he's just like super down to earth.
Yeah,
I love talking with him.
Also, good beard.
Yeah, strong beard. Very strong beard.
Yeah.
So the whiskey that we're drinking,
Hibiki. I think it's Hibiki. Could be Hibiki.
Yeah.
Hibiki. It's
Suntory. Suntory whiskey.
Suntory.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Hibiki is Hibiki.
And what did that run you, Dave?
$60.
About $60.
Yeah. Okay. If you guys are looking for a good whiskey selection in Tulsa, personally, I like to go to Park Hill South.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Park Hill Original, but
that's
I hear
my work. But
I hear they've got a good selection too.
I like South better.
Park Hill South is like a playland.
Hey, we need to talk about this right.
So we started this new thing recently where
last episode.
Well, yeah, we announced it last episode, mm-hmm. that if there's a men in your life that you think need prayer, just let us know and we will add them. We've got a whiteboard here where we list names, and at the end of every episode when we record, we pray for them all. So mm-hmm. let us know if there's somebody in your life, a man particularly, mm-hmm. who could use some manly prayer. So
yep. Yeah. And we'll
write them down.
Yeah. Because that's part of our ministry is, you know, our whole goal is to bring men closer to Christ and to have them live out virtues. So this is part of how we can help that.
Yeah, and pray for us.
Yeah, yeah. Please keep us in
keep
your prayers.
Keep us in the show in your prayer as well.
Hey, Dave, and we just got some monumental parts in Facebook and Instagram. We're going to be giving away a T-shirt this week.
Sweet.
To both of them.
All right.
So check our Facebook and Instagram accounts out. We'll be right back because our man topic is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, hang in there.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back, all you manly men out there. This is the Catholic Man Show. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with my bud David Niles. We're sitting here drinking some Hibiki whiskey from Japan, some Japanese whiskey. Just got done talking about the smoking travel tote bag.
Yeah.
For your pipes.
Check it out.
We're going to make a video for that, so you should have that.
That'll be on our YouTube channel, so if you have not discovered our YouTube channel, discover it.
Discover it.
Enlighten yourself.
Yep. Also, I got called out, Dave.
It's about time someone called you out.
One of the downsides maybe of our social media is we get held accountable for stuff we say.
Yeah.
And a couple episodes, I said that I was going to be – we talked about – we gave away a tool bag to Kenneth Henderson. He's the one who won that.
Yeah.
But I was talking about how I was going to be making a cross out of olive wood from mm-hmm. our buddy John Rost, who owns Retool in Tulsa. And I'm almost done with – like I'm basically done with the cedar replica. Like I wanted to first
is this work, the model?
This is the model. Yeah, I wanted to first work on it, not on olive wood because I only have so much. I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was doing and if
is
I liked it.
Is olive a hard or a soft wood?
That is a good question. I'm not positive.
Cedar's a soft wood, right?
Cedar's a pretty soft wood, yeah. In fact, all these grooves I actually did with chisels instead of
I feel like I could probably crush it with my hands, is
no,
that
you,
right?
You definitely could not. But I did just actually get a awesome new table saw.
Oh yeah, I want to see it.
Yeah, I'll show you after the show. Our buddy Vincent.
Yeah, Tran.
He let me borrow it.
You know, he doesn't do public events anymore.
He doesn't?
Private only.
Really?
Yeah.
He owns an awesome restaurant.
He's got one of those restaurants where it's like a 10-course meal. Mm-hmm. So it's more of like a dining experience than it is a dinner.
And also he's just like a phenomenal guy.
I think he might be a genius.
Yeah.
Like, I say that because I'm not sure, but I think he might be a genius.
Yeah.
You know what? He told me how he learned how to do carpentry. Because, when he was building that place, he was working, 18 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would get up first thing in the morning, go to adoration for, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then he would just go do it.
Yeah.
The carpentry.
Oh, yeah. He's a self-made man.
It was kind of
without a doubt.
Are you implying that you received... like supernatural knowledge on the carpentry? And it's like the way he said it kind of made me think, like, is that what you mean by that? But he didn't say that.
Right.
But it's like every day I'd be 2 hours in adoration and then I would just go do it.
Yeah.
Like God told me how to do it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But he's an awesome man regardless.
He's very cool. Super, super generous.
Super generous. Yeah.
Anyway.
So I'm finished with
You've got the saw. His saw. You've got the saw.
I have his saw that I'm taking care of it for him. And so I'm finished with this cedar cross. I'll post a picture on it because I haven't even posted a picture of it yet.
Yeah, you should do that.
And I actually have to stain it still, but by the time they hear this, it'll be stained. So I have it stained, and I'm going to start on the olive wood next here pretty soon.
Okay.
So thank you for Jonathan, who has his own podcast. Check his podcast out.
Yeah, Arbor Vitae.
Yeah. Check his podcast out. He and his buddy, his name is Adam. Also, Jonathan's buddy's name is Adam. They just started a podcast for woodworkers, and they kind of
woodworkers. Yeah, they talk about woodworking and the spiritual life.
Yeah, while woodworking, the virtues of that can be involved. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you can check that out as well. But anyway, he called me out and he's like, "Hey, when are you going to finish that cross you said you're going to do?" Anyway, I'll probably be doing that this next week. So get off my back, Jonathan.
So yesterday, on Saturday, it's last Saturday, I went to we had the Bish Bash. It's part of the Catholic Young Adults here in Tulsa.
Okay.
Every year we have dinner with the bishop and just hang out over at the chancery because his house there is at the chancery. And so I talked to him about our idea about you doing a woodworking 101 video.
Oh,
with
yeah?
Him. He's pro.
He's pro this idea?
He's in.
Dude, I was hoping he was going to be pro that idea.
Yeah, he's pro. So
I'm gonna do some videos with the bishop of Tulsa
about woodworking. Yeah. The bishop is our new bishop is a woodworker.
He's a carpenter.
He made his own, what do you call
Crozier.
This? Crozier. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and
he's actually going to make another one.
He's making another one. That's what he told me.
Dude.
So when he makes the other one, he's going to let us video it.
That's going to be awesome. Dude, how tough was it to be on air for 8 hours straight for a radiothon that we did?
Dude, I thought it was easy for me because I excel at everything. So.
It was brutal. It was tough.
Anyway. I saw you struggle. I saw you over there struggling.
I was struggling.
Like you were sweating and breathing hard.
I was. It was.
But I was totally calm and collected.
I had another day that I had to go.
You did 2 days in a row. That's harder. It's like twice as hard as what I did. But
Anyway, let's get into the man topic, because, you know, every episode we do the man beverage, which is a...
Oh, today is the Hibiki.
I was, like, teeing that up for you.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't know if you meant in general.
Get ready, because here's the next tee up.
Okay.
We also do a man gear, which is a...
Is the pipe travel bag.
Okay.
Carry bag. Pipe bag.
Yeah. And then...
We don't actually know exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
We Googled it, and we was like, well, let's call it this.
Okay. And then we'll video that. And then now our man topic that we do, that's the third thing that we do every episode, is
logical fallacies.
Which is... Okay.
It's a manly thing. Men like to argue.
Right. So here...
And I dare you to argue with me on that.
No.
Because I'll do it. I'll argue the point.
Here's the one point that I want to make on this idea that we have, this topic. There are a lot of, like, crazy things going on in our world right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, this whole... I mean, I don't even want to give you examples. You guys just know that there are a lot of crazy things, a lot of...
it's political season, so there's all kinds of... There are logical fallacies... Like, you can't walk out the door without 10 of them, like, smacking you in the face.
Right. And so, Dave, you and I are both young parents, and I get the question all the time,
yeah.
How are you going to raise your kid with all of these, like, crazy ideas surfacing? You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we're moving to Canada.
No, so here's what I'm doing.
I'm just kidding.
Let me just tell you
Canada's way worse.
Here's what I'm doing. We're homeschooling at least for a little while, we've decided. You know, at least up until... Maybe middle school, or we'll probably do, if we move them to a school, it'll be a Catholic school like Bishop Kelly or something like that. Shout out to Father Brian O'Brien. But I am making sure that I teach my kids logic, rhetoric, and critical thinking.
You're gonna have to learn those things first.
I'm more than willing to do that.
Don't worry. I will teach you.
You can say I'm elementary at all three of those. That's fine. I don't have like classical teaching.
I'm just kidding. Neither
on
do
any
I.
of those.
I don't either.
I don't have.
But I Googled it.
I don't have.
And I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Bonus.
So
1,000 points to you.
There you go.
But I think most of these crazy ideas that we have in this world today could be completely eliminated instantly if most people in the world understood what fallacies were. Mm-hmm. Or what logic is.
Right.
Because these ideas that are coming up are so, like, fallacious, for one,
mm-hmm.
or, like, contradictory, you know, for another. Like, hey, I'm trying to present to you a square circle.
Yeah.
It's a complete contradiction.
Yeah.
So if we could realize this, if we could say, wait, before I even try to answer and try to combat what you're talking about and go into an argument... If I can just stop you right there and say, this is wrong and this is why,
mm-hmm. yeah.
we would eliminate a lot of these crazy ideas that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Like the square circle thing. A lot of people say, you hear this commonly, that, oh, well, God can do anything. Technically, that's not true. God can do anything that can be done.
That's not logically contradicting
right.
itself.
Right, God cannot make a square circle because a square circle cannot exist.
Right.
So God can do anything that can happen.
Right.
That's just one
okay,
thing.
Okay, so let's get into because we're
so we've got a list here. And so, like, you know, we're talking about this because, you know, logic is sort of a men's thing. Please, women, don't... I'm not saying that women are illogical, although everyone is frequently illogical. Men and women. Some more than others. But, you know, kind of like, oh, the logical way of thinking, that stereotypically is a men's thing. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the most common logical fallacies. One example that we see, you know, all the time is, which is huge right now, is the ad hominem attack, which is Latin for to the person or against the person.
Mm.
So
especially for Catholics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So let's say Trump says something. Hillary will make an argument that is like, oh, yeah, well, he disrespects women. And it's like, and that's just an example. I'm just making that up.
Right.
I'm in no way trying to support either candidate. But that would be an ad hominem, because if you make I make a statement, and then you make your response is an attack on my character.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay.
Or like, you know, you make
but these are very effective. Incredibly right. effective, because everyone has a natural response to defend their character.
Right.
You know, they have this self-defense mechanism.
Exactly.
And so it distracts everyone from the original debate. And now we're talking about how small are my hands.
Right.
You know, or something, which has nothing to do with what we're here to talk about.
Exactly. Like, if you're a Catholic apologist, you hear this all the time. You're talking about maybe authority or sola scriptura, and then somebody says, well, I mean, how could you even believe this guy? He believes in the, he worships the Virgin Mary.
Right, which is actually, there's more than one, there's actually a couple logical fallacies there.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's attacking the guy for a position that has nothing to do with the position he makes.
Yeah, that would also be a straw man.
That would also be a straw man.
So, yeah, a straw man. Oh, well, let's talk, let's get to straw man after the break. Straw man's important.
Flew by.
I know.
Flew by.
It's all right. We're going to knock it out.
All right, hey guys, stick around, because these logical fallacies are something you need to learn if you don't know them. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glass. Raise it. Raise it right now.
Do it.
Right now.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to the show. The show of manliness. Show of manly excellence.
The show known as in Japan as the Catholic Man Show.
That's what they call it.
That's what they call it in Japan.
And other places.
And other places.
Where people call things that they are. Yeah.
This is awesome. This is good conversation.
No logical fallacies so far.
But seriously, if you are outside of the U.S. or even in the U.S. and you're listening to our show and you haven't reached out to us, we want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from our listeners. We'd love to hear the different shows that you're listening to, what you like about it, what you hate about it.
Mm-hmm.
Go review our podcast as well on iTunes. Please. I beg you.
Okay. So straw man. That's what we were just talking about.
Yep.
A straw man is also a very effective. Like the problem with these logical fallacies is that in the day-to-day argument, when you are just discussing things with people, arguing, whatever it is, these are incredibly effective. Because, like you mentioned, Adam, nobody knows how to identify these or what they are. Let me just once again demonstrate my humility. If I were a superhero, my superpower would be logical fallacies. I can't tell you what they are, but whenever I hear one, I know it's not true.
Dude, that's not even a superpower.
I said that's what it would be if I were a superhero.
It's not even a superpower. That's like Batman. Batman doesn't even have a superpower.
His Batman superpower is like...
He has money.
Awesomeness.
No, he has money.
Listen, there are a lot of guys who are richer than Batman who can't do what Batman does.
It's because they don't choose to blow their money on silly things.
No. Batman is a like martial artist. He has, like, more determination.
Anybody could be a martial artist.
His superpower is determination.
That's not even a superpower.
You can have it to a super level.
That doesn't make you. It doesn't make it a superpower.
Could be.
No.
You don't know.
I disagree.
Dude, if Batman were... Let me just say. If you are ever in Gotham City, you're going to wish you had not dissed Batman the way you just did.
Whatever.
Because he's not coming.
Just keep going with logical fallacies.
He's not coming.
You're being fallacious.
I'm not being fallacious. You're being fallacious.
Get going on it.
He is clearly a superhero.
He has no superpowers.
That's debatable. He has no supernatural abilities. I will grant you that.
Which is superpower.
Depends on the definition of superpower.
Keep going,
since
dude.
Since we are talking, you know, this episode is largely about debating correctly, okay? You have not defined your terms, sir. There's no supernatural abilities. Anyway.
I want to hear from the listener on this.
They're going to agree with me because I'm right in the heart of correctness. Mm. I'm like the church in this regard. And you are like Martin Luther.
That is ad hominem, ad hominem, straw man, straw man.
You don't even know what a straw man is. I haven't even told you yet. So a straw man actually kind of is a straw man.
It's definitely a straw man.
A straw man is when you characterize your opponent's position in a very weak way, in a, you know, possibly incorrect way, so that it makes it very easy to defeat. The way you can remember this is, you know, okay, so let's say you have someone who says, I think the government should give more money to the poor. And your opponent says, you know, I can't believe that my opponent is so un-American that he wants to take money away from the national defense of this country, you know, that he's so un-American. And it's like, no, that's not really the other person's position. He's saying that more money should be given to the poor. He's not saying that we should take money away from the national defense budget. So that's a straw man. And you can remember that because you set up a very weak version of your opponent's position so that it can easily be knocked down, like a scarecrow or a straw man. So, you know, it's not his real position. It's not a real man. This is just a very, you know, fake, weak man that can easily be pushed over. So it's not really your opponent's position. It's just a version of your opponent's position.
Okay.
Okay. So then another one I want to talk about is false cause.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Also in Latin, I really like it. It's post hoc ergo propter hoc. Isn't that kind of fun?
That is fun.
It's kind of fun. Post hoc ergo propter hoc.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So false cause is presuming that a real or perceived relationship between things means that one is the cause of the other.
Say that one more time.
So when something, when there is a relationship, whether real or just perceived,
okay,
there's a relationship between two things means one must have caused the other. So it's like, oh,
okay.
I drank a bottle of water and then I got sick. Therefore, the bottle of water must have made me sick.
Gotcha.
Adam, did you know that I used to believe that causation equaled correlation, but then I took a statistics class, and now I don't believe that anymore?
Sound like the class really worked.
Well, maybe. That was a joke.
Zing! Yeah.
Play that one back if you need to. Just go and play it back, because it's good. I'll just tell you. So, but that one we see all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, okay, the number 2 equals a number. Like, that's what it is. It is a number. The number 1 also equals a number. Therefore, 1 equals 2.
Right.
There is a relationship here, but these things are not the same. You see what I'm saying, Ed? You see that?
I smell what you're stepping in.
Excellent. Then let's talk about the genetic fallacy.
Big one.
This is also a big one, especially with the elites.
Mm-hmm.
They like to use this one. Especially with atheists.
Atheists
are big on the genetic fallacy. They throw this one around like crazy.
A lot of times without their knowledge.
Atheists are getting dumber and dumber, which is absolutely true. That is really a true thing. I'm not kidding. Atheists, it's not like, oh, atheist, you're an atheist and you're slowly going to get dumber because you're an atheist. But if you looked at the atheists of 50 years ago, they were much more intelligent than the atheists of today. And I stand behind that statement. I'll make it, and I'll stand behind it. I'm willing to defend it. Okay?
Okay.
Without
using fallacious arguments?
Without using fallacious arguments. Okay. I would like to use actual facts and data.
Okay.
And the use of the genetic fallacy over and over and over again would be one of many points I would make. Atheists say things like, oh, religion was just something made up by common people to explain their existence. And then they'll point out to some facts. So this is true that when you look at the highest educated groups in America, like the professors, the people who are the highest educated, they are a higher percentage atheist than the rest of the population. So there's two things that a lot of people will assume here. That first, atheists will make an incorrect assumption that most highly educated equals smartest. That is not true. You know, just because I've taken the time to get my master's and my doctorate doesn't make me actually smarter than the next guy. It makes me more educated. I might know more things, but there's a difference between the facts, knowing facts,
wisdom
and
knowledge,
the ability to learn. You know, the ability to see and discern, and you know, you see what I'm saying. You can have guys who are not educated at all still test at a genius level. Like for the Mensa exam and stuff.
Well, a great example is, you know, people use Richard Dawkins all the time, right? And he's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to he's a scientist. He is
kind
a scientist.
He's a biologist.
He's a scientist.
He's not.
But here's what he's not. Let me tell you what he is.
He's not a physicist.
Okay, but let me tell you what he really is not. He's not a philosopher.
He's not a philosopher.
His philosophy is very poor when it comes to...
It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, his understanding. So anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, the genetic fallacy is that an argument comes from someone or a group of people who are uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the argument itself must be equally bad. So, you know, it's true that the most highly educated people are a higher percentage of atheists. Therefore, you know, the argument goes that religion is for the unintelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it must be untrue.
Right.
Okay, and that's not true. I mean, it doesn't just... So the origins, that's where the genetic fallacy... The origins of an argument determine its validity.
Right.
Not true. Just because something comes from a bad place or a bad... You know, it's not a good area. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Doesn't make the argument itself... The argument itself needs to be taken on its own merits.
Right. Can I tell you one of my favorites?
Yes.
It'll take 2 seconds because we're almost done with the show. Self-referential incoherence. Okay. And the example, let me just give you an example of what
this
is.
I like big words. I do.
Yeah, it makes you sound a lot smarter than what you really are.
True.
Let me give you an example. When you hear an atheist say, I believe that there's no such thing as absolute truths.
And then you say,
oh, absolutely?
Are you absolutely sure about that?
Are you absolutely sure that there's no absolute truths? That's a genetic something. That is a fallacy.
Something that contradicts itself.
That's exactly right.
I see.
Within the claim.
Mm-hmm.
The claim itself contradicts itself.
You get that one a lot in the religious debate as well.
Yeah.
There are no absolutes.
Right.
If you ever hear anybody say, there are no absolutes.
There's no moral absolutes.
Or if there are no absolutes of any kind. Then it's like, well, are you absolutely sure about that?
Right.
And
the scientific method.
Here's
what
you need to do.
The scientific method can prove anything. Oh, really? How did you use that? How do you scientifically prove that?
Yeah, exactly.
Using the scientific method.
And right before you throw those at him, get your camera ready because the face that's coming is priceless.
It's a mind blowing.
We've only got a couple seconds left.
Okay.
Oh, philosophy is more important. Well, it's not more important, but comes before science.
Yes.
I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Because science only can tell us what we don't know.
Right.
Science doesn't tell us what we know.
Exactly. So check us out on our social media. We're going to give away a Catholic Man Show t-shirt this week. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Everybody,
raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.